Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the family altar. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our family altar. Sing hymn 67. Sing hymn 67. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afar, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, bear thy faithless by sight. Lead me with holy light, teach me thy way. When I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of thy distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the doubt and wind, through sorrow, pine and pain. Make thou my path within, teach me thy way. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Whene'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the job is done, until the call is won, teach me thy way. For tonight's family altar, let us turn to Psalms 64. Psalms 64. This is a psalm of David. In Jesus' name I read Psalm 64, verse 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. 2. Hide me from the secret plot of the wicked, from the scheming of evildoers. 3. Who whet or who sharpens their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows. 4. Shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. 5. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see us? 6. Who can search out our crimes? We have thought out a cunningly conceived plot. For the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. 7. But God will shoot his arrow at them. They will be wounded suddenly. 8. Because of their tongue, verse 8. Because of their tongue, he will bring them to ruin. All who see them will wag their heads. 9. Then all men will fear. They will tell what God has wrought and ponder what he has done. 10. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart glory. In the superscription, it only tells us to the choir master a psalm of David. This is quite a generous psalm. In this psalm, it is a prayer for help, prayer that the Lord will deliver. Psalm 64, we divide it into two parts. First part, from verse 1 to verse 6. First part, from verse 1 to verse 6, it tells us an appeal and prayer for preservation. And second part, 7 to 10, it tells us God's judgment of the wicked or the evil doers. All right, now we run through the first part. Verse 1, David says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from threat of the enemy." So we say this is a prayer for preservation of his life. At the time, his enemies, who or what did they do? In verse 2, David prayed, "Hide me from the secret plot of the wicked." It tells us about the secret plot of the wicked. In verse 5, lower portion, verse 5, lower portion, they talk of laying snares secretly. In the RSV, twice it is mentioned about secret. They plotted secretly. They lay snares secretly. So these are the work of the enemy of David, the wicked people, evildoers. So in verse 2, David prayed, "Hide me." Not only in verse 1, "Preserve my life," but David also prayed that the Lord hide him. That is to say, protect him, deliver him, so that all this secret plot of the wicked will not bring harm to him. Verse 2, lower portion, they scheme. Here says from the scheming evildoers. They were very evil. They schemed together. They had this evil plot. In verse 5, they hold fast to their evil purpose. So they will not change. They are very determined to fulfill their secret plot, their scheme. So they hold fast to their evil plot. Therefore, also they think, they say, "Who can see us?" So all the more, they are so daring to do it. Who can see us? Nobody will know about their plot. And who can search out our crimes? And they say, "We have thought out a cunningly conceived plot." So they think that their plot was so perfect, so good, and that it will bring harm to David. Alright, so not apart from this plot, in verse 3, they who sharpen their tongues like sword, who aim bitter words like arrow, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. It tells us about their words, about their words. So their words, it is full of evilness, slander, derogative statement. So it is likened to a sword, to an arrow that will bring injury or even kill, and they plan to ambush, to bring harm. Alright, so in short, it tells us about the enemy of David, those wicked and evil people. They had a secret plot, they have a secret scheme they lay against David, and also they speak forth evil words, slanders against David. And David concluded in verse 6, the last statement, "For the inward mind and heart of a man are deep." Truly, at times, we are not able to understand the mind and the heart of men, why they can become so evil, evil to this extent that they set up secret plots. They have secret snares. This is fearful. So David tells us about the inward mind and the heart. And in the past, we always quoted in Mark, it tells us about the heart of man, evilness that is in the heart of man. and it will be manifested out. After we come back to this, in the second part, 7 to 10, it tells us about the judgment of the wicked and the evil doers. But from 7 to 10, we can see there are three groups of people. Verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 and verse 8, definitely it refers to the enemy of David, the evil doers, the wicked people. Verse 7, but God will shoot his arrow at them, and they will be wounded suddenly. Now the Lord take action. In return, now the Lord will shoot his arrow towards them. Verse 8, because of their tongue, he will bring them to ruin. Or in another version, they will bring him to ruin, their tongue being against them. Alright, their tongue will be against them, means their own words will be a stumbling block for them. Lower portion, verse 8, all who see them will wag or shake their head. It is a sign of scorn. They will be scorned. People will be surprised. They, of course, in the end, to what happened to them, they will also acknowledge. They shake their head in relation to the evil that these people do. It is a form of scorn. So whatever they do, especially here says their tongue, it will now come back upon them. It will be a stumbling against them. Let's turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 13. Proverbs 12, verse 13. Verse 13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escape from trouble. Take note, evil men, they are ensnared by the transgression of their lips. They themselves will be ensnared, but instead, the righteous will escape from trouble. Chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 7. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself. Alright, the same. Whatever they speak forth, it will lead them to their ruin. It will be a snare to themselves. So just likened to Psalm 64, David says, the first group, about the first group, his enemy, the evildoers, the wicked, those who plotted evil, they scheme through their words of evilness. Here says, in the end, it will come back to them. They will be scorned. Turn back, Psalm 64, verse 9. Verse 9 tells us about the second group. Verse 9 about the second group. Then all men will fear. They will tell what God has wrought and ponder what he has done. This is good. When these men, when they saw what happened to the evil, wicked men, that whatever they planned, they plotted, whatever they say forth, now come back against them, bring them into their own ruin. They are ensnared by their own scheme. So now, all the men, those who saw it, who heard about it, and who knows about this incident, they will fear. This is the goodness in relation to the outcome of God's judgment. It will lead others to fear. They will look at them as examples. That's why the third line says they will ponder what he has done. So of course this he can refer to himself, and also they will also see the acts of God. So they will tell what God has wrought. They will self-examine themselves. They will ponder about themselves. This is the second group. It is good. There are those who will now consider their own actions. that they will not fall into the same punishment or the same end of those who are evil. But now the third group, verse 10, the righteous rejoice in the Lord and they take refuge in Him, because they know the Lord will protect, the Lord will preserve, the Lord will hide them from being harmed by those who plot secretly. So they will turn to the Lord. And in the end, let all the upright in heart glory. All right. So the second part tells us about these three groups, the evildoers who will be judged and punished. Whatever they do will come upon they themselves. Then the second group, all the men, those observers, they will see, they will learn to fear, and they will know now to consider their own actions and to turn back. And thirdly, the righteous, they will rejoice. They will now all the more take refuge in the Lord, continue to lead a good life, and the upright in heart, they will glory. Now we come to the teaching. From Psalm 64, it tells us about the condition of man's mind and heart. As David says in verse 6, "For the inward mind and heart of a man are deep." Really, at times we just cannot understand. These are the heart, the mind of evildoers. But as we have read just now in verse 10, the lower portion, the righteous, upright in heart, it tells us a comparison about the evil heart that schemes and those who are upright in heart. Definitely, we must be those who are upright in the heart, that we do good and not evil. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it?" Truly, even at times, we ourselves, we are not able to understand. Why am I like that? Why there is evilness in me? Why I plot and scheme secretly? Thus, really, the heart, it is deceitful, desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart." So take note, the Lord knows. And the Lord will search, the Lord will try the heart. So let us have upright heart and not evil heart that scheme. Verse 10, lower portion, "to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So in the end, they will receive the outcome of whatever they do. The Lord will try the heart and the mind. So the Lord knows. Even though men, we are not able to understand others, man's mind and heart are deep. But the Lord knows, the Lord search, the Lord try. Just likened to an example that we use now about the scribes, the priests, and Judas. We know they were those who had a secret plot, a scheme, so that Jesus, he will be killed. Let's refer to Luke 22. Let's turn to Luke 22. Let's read 1 to 6. Luke 22, 1 to 6. "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people." So they fear the people, but now they want Jesus dead. So how? They had a scheme, they plotted. But then also, verse 3, "Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the member of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and the officers how he might betray him to death." Now they had this agreement, they were in discussion, and they were glad and engaged to give him money. So they bought him over. And Judas, he was greedy. He was a thief. 6. So he agreed and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. We can see this evil plot scheme of the high priest, the scribes, the officers, and Judas. The other apostles, they did not know this scheme, this evilness of Judas, but the Lord Jesus knew. Let's turn to John 13. John 13 verse 18. John 13, 18. It tells us about the foot washing. After the foot washing, verse 18, Jesus says, I am not speaking of you all. I know whom I have chosen. It is that the scripture might be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. At the time, Judas was there. Judas was there. So Judas, even Jesus washed his feet, but now he will take his feet, lift his heel, and will go against the Lord Jesus. This was the evil plot, evil scheme. Jesus knew, alright? And in the end, of course, we know Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. So let us be careful. Let us be very careful. Let us always have keep watch over our hearts and our mind, that we will have no evilness in us, that we will not plot evilness secretly, and that we will not speak forth evil, slander words against others. So we pray that the Lord help us so that we are able to have an upright heart. Those who will be delivered, those who will escape the judgment and punishment of the Lord. May the Lord guide us. May the Lord lead us. Now we will spend the rest of the time in prayer. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Ah, ding 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 ding
Praise the Lord. Praise the Praise the Lord. This is Christmas. Thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the Castor, 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 the
Amen. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. We end our family altar here. May the Lord bless and guide.